Alex, I'm not too bad, mate. How are you?
You can tell these calls are natural. You're in your car on your way to go fishing. I've pinned you down.
Practically speaking, I'm here with my mate. He won't say hi. He's rather shy.
Oh, bless.
We're literally just going off fishing. So, as you can tell, it's a totally off the cuff. No notes in front of me. The first thing I knew was a tweet came through saying we're doing a podcast. So I'm assuming you've got some sort of news you want to put out. Obviously, I'm going to do an update from sort of the last podcast we did, where I covered 8AD, H&R, Highland Natural Resources, and then Keras Resources, KRS, and then Noricum. You know, that's my sort of main ones at the minute that I'm sort of keeping information and tabs on. So, judging by the list, you've got quite a few there and, you know, many arms and legs on them by the looks of it.
just to pick up on the Highland Resources, we covered them in the podcast. Well, you actually covered them, and they were around 15 pence at the time. It's an amazing climb since you've talked about them, from 15p.
Yeah, again, they've got some, as I said in the last podcast, they've got an amazing sort of product there and an amazing sort of onward going deal with Schlumberger and, or Schlumberger, again, however you want to pronounce it. And they're going to start doing all the testing on the equipment. So, fingers crossed, within the next few months, we'll know what's happening and what's going on there.
Yeah, it looks really interesting. Just to pick up on the Keras thing, what you were saying, the KRS, there's a rumour, obviously I can't substantiate it, but Dave Reeves is supposed to be in London next month in June. So what I'm thinking is that they can't be far off now delivering the first payment, maybe?
Well, if you look back through all the old RNS data and everything along those lines, and on their Twitter account the other day, they put up a picture of a gentleman holding a slab of gold, roughly the same sort of size as an A4 sheet of paper.
Yeah.
And by the looks of it, it's as thick as his thumb. You know, the length of his thumb, the brick sort of as big as that. So fingers crossed, if that obviously item of gold has been sold, it might just be a case of checks in the post, or money's transferred to bank awaiting clearance. You know, it could be coming at any point in time, or it could be coming, you know, potentially, if there is rumours afoot, you know. But to my way of thinking, I'm hoping it's going to be in the next sort of week or so. The share price has come down from the sort of high points.
Yeah.
Due to the placing, but again, the placing's to bring online the Prince of Wales mine. So when that all starts coming online, there could be news about the mine opening up. So again, it could be all sort of rolled in or all interlinked at that sort of point in time. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens and when, and, you know, we all know from that sort of point forward what's happening, and then fingers crossed, beginning the next year, the potential for the manganese mine in Togo to come online. So,
yeah. I agree totally, by the way, Steve, because the way I'm seeing it, basically it was a Carlsberg RNS for me when they raised to get the Prince of Wales, the 1.25 million, I think. And
yeah.
The shares coming on the market, obviously the price is going to get depressed with that happening. But I'm hoping the next news to come out for Keras, because obviously we've followed this story a long time, that should really deliver shareholder value, hopefully. And then, like you said, long term, over the next year, it should be an interesting journey.
That's it. You know, cash in the bank instantaneously within the next couple of weeks. Bring on the other assets, other mines, just scale up the business, more cash flow coming in, more mines coming online, commodity prices are rising, and obviously when we first started covering the story, that's the main thing that, you know, everyone that sort of feeds information, that was the main sort of grasp of the story. Brilliant working model, brilliant practices, brilliant board of directors there. They've got their own cash in the game. You know, I think this is the low point of the share price. I don't think we'll ever see any prices at these levels again.
All right.
So, yeah. You know, happy days moving forward.
So
just sit back, await the news, see what happens when it happens, and we'll obviously carry on covering it.
Yeah, like you say, it'll be interesting. And if Dave Reeves is coming to town next month, obviously if I'm about, I'll pop down to London and we'll try and get an exclusive interview with him. Norwich Gold. They've put some RNSs out over the last week or so. They're active now. They're drilling. It looks exciting.
Look, that's it. Again, we covered it quite a while back. The share price is still roughly similar to when I sort of first got on board. But again, you know that the company's moving forward. They put out the RNS. They're starting to do the drill work. And again, in the background, we still only know what's down to very, very shallow depths. And they're going to start, obviously, getting that resource out of the ground. Resources that they know about already are 1 million tons of copper. And then they've got a glut of gold there and a glut of silver. And again, between the last podcast and this podcast, I've been looking at all of the prices and where they've been historically, and silver looks like it's going to become a sort of a higher riser, if you like.
Yeah.
You've got to catch up with, you know, other materials such as platinum, gold. They've been on the rise. Silver has risen, but nowhere near as much as the gold price. So, you know, the silver that's there, when that starts coming online, you know, that's going to obviously sort of re-rate the prices and potential of the mine.
Yeah, definitely.
So, and again, working in the background, they've got the IP scanning machine. They're going to figure out what they've got deeper down and work out the grades and resources and just build a brilliant, scalable model. They've got 30-year licenses on the well, brilliant working sort of agreements with the local people and the other gentleman that they've got on board, apart from Greg, who's the main sort of man there. The main focus for me is on his sort of left and right-hand man called Martin.
Yeah.
He used to work for a company called London, and they basically didn't want to mine the area. They had other plays that they had spent a lot of money on that they wanted to go off and look at. So Martin has basically left a massive major company to come online with Norwich, and he's built up all of the sort of working relationships into government, into, you know, with the local population. He's done a lot of work for the old mining community there. So he knows 100% the whole working system and the layout. And the company's obviously piggybacking him, his knowledge, and the work that London previously did, obviously, with the mining in that area. So, again, you know, an amazing story. And they're just sort of at the beginning of their journey.
Definitely.
So,
the last time we met him, remember when we met him, Steve, he was a really very interesting guy to talk to when we did the show at their Walsall, you know. You remember Martin? We were talking to Martin from Norwich, you know, when we did the show.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. You know, Martin has got a you know, vast knowledge and experience within, you know, not only mining, but in that area. He's been in this sort of mining community and area for the last 10 years. He knows the lay of the land. He knows the people. He knows the communities. He knows how to network with those people. So, you know, what's not to like? He's almost effectively a Paul Budzinski of the mining community in that area.
Yeah, I must admit I've had some interesting conversations. I interviewed REM, Rare Earth Minerals, their CEO, and obviously they've got 20% of European metals holdings, but we're not doing bad.
Yeah.
just to pick up, because I'm looking at the gold, the silver, the lithium, the rare earth, the copper. At the moment, it seems we seem to be going more towards the mining companies, because I know none of these guys will go on the record and say it, but the sector definitely looks like it's turned. It looks like it's bouncing. It does, in my humble opinion.
Yeah, when you have a look at commodity prices, with sort of repressed oil stocks, for instance, a barrel of oil is down around $30 per barrel. That's the point in time when you've got to look for these little companies that have got, you know, a potential mass resource. That's why I like the 8AT story, and that's why I sort of, you know, had a look at that and sort of almost championed the research into that company.
Yeah.
So, and again, if you look at historically the gold prices, even 2 or 3 years ago, every other advert on the TV was, have you got gold? Do you want to sell it to us? You know, we'll send you a free parcel in the post, and then you just send us your product. We'll value it, transfer the money into the bank the same day we get it, you know. Now, the gold price since that point in time has come down massively, but with the world communities and obviously the stock markets and just the whole, you know, absolutely everything when you look at it.
Brexit, the lot, it all adds to it, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's it. All we need basically is some sort of trigger, and it looks, you know, very much like it's going to be happening sort of relatively soon.
Yeah, you look at Australia, look at the price of gold in Australia, it's gone through the roof, it's absolutely crazy.
Yeah, that's it, you know, at the minute the Australian gold price is sort of gone above and beyond the sort of world sort of normal gold price. So, again, to be in the mining stocks that are based in Australia like Carifers, you know, when they signed the original sort of contract and deals, they set a 50-50 deal, for want of a better description, and that's up to sort of 1,600 Australian dollars. Yeah. Anything above the 1,600 Australian dollars, they get a 70-30 split. So more profitability for exactly the same sort of product coming out of the ground. So again, you know, they've done very well to secure that type of deal and chose that CEO's a forward thinking, the forward planning. They obviously knew that the price of the gold was going to rise a lot higher. So, you know, again, that's the sort of thing that I look towards when I'm doing all my research. So
yeah. Definitely. I'm looking towards, to be honest, I'm looking across the board. And I'm looking at lithium and rare earth. That's the things I'm looking at the moment, you know, for like, obviously, well, we know what they're used for, but to pick up on leave the rare earth one for now, but the lithium, you look at the electric car and the industry, the way it's going, I think that's going to be an exciting journey for a few companies, that's for sure, that market.
Yeah, that's it. I mean, everyone's going on to sort of renewable energy resources now. There's a lot more battery-operated cars, and the whole world is sort of aiming towards that. Lithium, sort of some of the main mines that have been mined for years and years, they're sort of now on the decline and the shutdown. So, you know, anyone can see that if, like, the main sort of mines are going to be shutting down, then obviously you get these niche little companies like Rare Earth Minerals, where, you know, there is the potential there that the commodity price is going to go up, and obviously the amount of production of the product worldwide is going to be going down. So again, similar story with oil, you know, every single country in the world, the exploration's sort of in decline because they feel that it's not going to be economically viable. There's a lot of risk in the market. So, you know, it's again just trying to find those niche little companies that are going to deliver on their sort of promises and go forward with them. You know, that's the sort of thing I'm looking at now.
Oh, they're out there. They're definitely out there. You know what I mean? They're there to be seen. You know what I mean? I keep banging the drum for that European Metals Holdings. But you know, you say you've got the rare earth in there. I'm actually, what I've been doing is Savannah Resources, SAV. I've been in touch with that's another good company, Dave Archer, the CEO, and I'm trying to pin him down now for a podcast. So We had a few requests from holders, and we've already interviewed them in the past. So hopefully, because that's Savannah Resources, that looks a really interesting company as well to me, you know?
Yeah, there's been obviously noted on some of the bulletin boards. I had no idea about this podcast. I'm to be 100% honest with you, although I've heard about them, I don't know anything about that company. So I can't comment on that company at this moment in time.
Yeah, it's just me doing my catch-up. It's like another one. Again, you probably won't know them. Sirius Petroleum, it's another story. I'm just picking up on these because we've covered these on the sites, and I've spoke to Bobo Kuti, the CEO, and Graham Lyon, the technical advisor. So for anybody who holds Sirius Petroleum, we are trying to get hold of them, you know, to get them to do an interview. And also we've done a Q&A to Solo Oil and Gas, and they've agreed to come back to us with the Q&A. So Solo's another one for people watching. Steve, we've just launched Conker's Corner on the site. Have you been there yet? Have you been interviewed?
I have been interviewed. I was interviewed yesterday. And again, it's absolutely brilliant talking to Conker's. Again, because we're not sort of sat there talking about stocks or anything like that, it was good just to have open and frank discussion about me, who I am, what I stand for, the way I conduct and, operate my sort of portfolio.
Yeah. Go on. No, sorry, I was going to pay you a compliment there, actually, because what people are not picking up on yet, you're actually along some city names. You've got the likes of Chris Bailey, who's on there, and you've got Steve Marcus, you've got like Diane Patterson, and you're going to have, you'll have Paul Johnson in the future, Malcolm Parry from Mindmaven, so you're alongside some good company.
Yeah, definitely, I thought it was going to be something like Hard Talk off the BBC.
Yeah.
It's more of like a friendly chat, and one question leads to another, and he was full of sort of compliments and praises for like the amount of research on 8AT
exactly
that I've done, and off the back of that, it's like, how do you do this, how do you do that, what would you say, what would you say to people sort of listening to this interview, what would you do for your research, And we sort of just sat there, analysed, social media. And again, you've covered, how powerful social media could be.
Yeah.
And again, we've sort of touched on a whole myriad of sort of subject matter sort of within that. So again, it's very interesting just to be able to sit there and have an open sort of frank discussion and a talk about, me and, the stock markets in general. And what I would say to people is, if there's a company you're following, it doesn't need to be one that LSE Share Talk are covering even. Could they come forward to you and say, I'm invested in this company, any chance we get this CEO on board and, interview him? It can be a wealth of information for so many people. And, it could potentially become a regular sort of day-to-day thing, if you like.
Definitely will. I'll touch on it later on, but like Gretland Gold, GGP, that's a company we're going to work with in the future for sure. But just to FCR, Ferrum Crescent Limited, I don't know, did you follow that this week? Did you see the share rise?
Yeah, the share price has been rising.
Yeah, well... I've just got to just to say something on this one. Basically, I met Justin Tooth back in January. I met him back then.
Yeah.
We actually tweeted out the placing they did on our site and also on Twitter on the 25th of February. And the price was at, and this is where people have to listen, it was at 0.0012p. So the reason I'm saying this is because I've watched these keyboard warriors all shouting, yes, yes. But the thing is, I talked to Justin, and then we put the podcast out last Thursday. The market cap was 2.3 million at the time. When it closed on Friday, it closed at 3.59 million. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So what, I'm clarifying.
Again,
what I mean?
Unfortunately, you get people that are sort of blinkered to other sort of things that was sort of being said. I mean, for instance, you go back to Uplands Petroleum.
Yeah.
I mentioned them, and the following day, the share price rose, and literally the day before we even put the podcast out, one of the managers there announced that he had bought in like a massive amount of shares out of his own money.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
You know, after I mentioned it, you know, social media, again, being what it is, I had people saying, hey, you didn't make the share price rise. It was the director's buys. But when you have a look at the director's buys, it was the day before we had even sat down and done the podcast.
Yeah,
so,
exactly, yeah.
You know, unfortunately, and again, I covered it on Conkers, the power of social media, you know, it can be great as long as it's used for the correct purposes and as long as people sort of research the info on the back of what's being said on social media. You know, believe no one, trust no one is sort of two key things. If the information is proven correct and true, then yes, you do get a reputation. Yes, you do get a following. It's what you do with that reputation and following that's sort of key. You know, I've had people asking me, you know, what's the share price of Kera's going to be after they announce, you know, the gold bar and, you know, the sale of it to the market.
Yeah.
And I have, you know, quite openly and honestly said, no, I'm not going to guesstimate a share price. But, however, if you look at where the share price was before the placing came about, and again, the placing is to aid the company in producing X amount of extra, you know, revenue month to month. So for the sake of, you know, waiting for 6 months, they've effectively lost out on 6 months of mining at a million Australian dollars a month. So to do a placing for that sort of 1.25 million, that effectively means they could bring that mine on 5-6 months earlier. So net gain from it's going to be around sort of 5 to 6 million. So what is not to like about that placing? So, you know, short term, it should obviously do what it's going to do. I don't need to tell anyone that can look at a chart where it should be. We're, you know, in my opinion, it's undervalued. So, you know, I think the markets need to know that the business model works. Yes, it does work. We know it works. They've got the material out the ground. They've got it to the local processing plant. They've got the bar of gold on Twitter. You know, what more does the market want to know? Unfortunately, the people that set the price, the market makers, they don't follow Twitter. You know, they can't use Twitter. And again, this is the power of the social media. You can see what's there. You can see what's what. You don't need to be a brain surgeon to work it out, you know.
Well, it went around 1.7. Originally, obviously, we picked it up last year, 0.37 of a penny.
Yeah.
But the thing is, what people, if people take the time to listen to this, what they've got to understand is the main conversations now are going on WhatsApp and in direct message groups away from the front of Twitter. So they're actually discussing what people are saying on Twitter behind the scenes. And that's where the power now of social media is for me. But just to finish off on Ferrum Crescent there, Steve, not being rude.
Yeah.
They issued a speeding ticket on Friday, which I was, like I say, I do know Justin Tooth and I talked to him. I was bemused because why they did that, they only had to put an RNS out and basically say, we've noted the share movement, but we are doing X, Y, Z. But they didn't. They just put out a speeding ticket and basically stopped it. But just to finish off on that one, when I spoke to him on the interview and I said about his market cap, it's got to be around 5 million for what he's doing. And if, this is a big if, I don't know, but if Spain comes in, because now they've got the warrants, they've got the funds, £800,000, they go for Spain, and they get Spain, I think, in my opinion, humble opinion, the 5 million market cap for that company could be broke, like, but that's just my thought, you know?
Yeah, again, I mean, when you have a look at other companies that have done roughly the same, you know full well that the share price has obviously escalated from that sort of point in time. Any company that brings a decent asset on board and the sort of funding to cover that asset, again, that asset is worth a certain amount of money to the company. So, you know, back to what we were saying before, you know, we don't tip stocks. We just cover the information. We put the information out there for everyone to see and go from there.
Exactly, yeah. That's why when I was at the Masters show on Tip TV, I did touch on the cash shell thing, you know, and you know, I shouldn't do it, like, cause it's just my opinion. It's not LSE Share Talk's opinion. But I was just bemused by, you know, the cash shell situation and how people end up getting themselves locked into these things where you've got other companies around you that they're actually, you know, they've got assets and they're operating. So it's just a strange...
Yeah, that's it, you know. And again, I cover this on Conker's Corner. If there's a company that's got an asset that's undervalued and you find that company, they've got an asset on board, they've got funds in place, why would you not want to invest in that company at that point in time with a sort of repressed share price?
Yeah.
Because, again, the market makers, they seem to like keeping share prices repressed. You know, even if a bit of good news comes out, they generally tend to try and drop the price on it. So,
That's what it is, Steve. They want to get people an entry point, basically. That's the market forces.
Yeah, that's it. And, you know, that's the way things are. So...
Just obviously, I won't keep you long because I know you want to go fishing, and I appreciate you saying. I did a podcast with Paul Johnson on Friday, and what we were doing is we were covering basically the, you know, the investment arm of Metal Tiger.
Yep.
So basically, people don't understand the asset arm within the company, and what it is, they have the warrants, the shares invested in other companies, and as Paul calls them, the Willy Wonka's golden tickets. Which I thought was quite funny, yeah? That's what he calls them, it's amazing. But they're actually up by 2 million quid. If I put a tweet out on LSE Share Talk, and it had a link, and it showed you for what they've put in to what the return is at the moment, and it's just below £3 million. That's what these warrants... Honestly, it's for all to see. We know they have Spain, Botswana, Thailand, assets, etc. But I think investors are missing a trick, ignoring that... the asset arm inside Metal Tiger. They're definitely missing a trick.
Yeah, I mean, practically speaking, you have a look at what they've got at Metal Tiger. As I've said before, I've not invested in them. I'm aware of them. I'm on their bulletin board, basically, sort of some of the chat groups.
Yeah, it's a good
one. And, you know, if they see value in a sort of underfunded company somewhere, and they can add value and add an asset to their sort of arm, if you like, they'll buy a percentage of the company, they'll give them the money and say, go and get on with it, you know? And in return, they obviously get these warrants and, you know, they've got various sort of mines themselves that they're producing. So, you know, excellent business model. You know, scale up the smaller companies, you know, they do all the due diligence. They're almost like a brokerage company for several different companies, but they're kept within the one company.
Yeah,
so they can keep an eye on them. They know the market. They know what they're doing. Paul Johnson's air miles must be absolutely phenomenal. you know, one minute he's in this country, next minute he's in this other country. Then you see him, you know, on an American show somewhere, and then next minute he's on YouTube, and then he's doing a podcast here, then he's doing an interview there, and you know, the guy must have some shares in sort of Red Bull, because he must be sat there drinking that stuff all day.
Yeah. Well,
just to keep on the ball. But again, the share price there, that's been sort of, I don't know what price you called it at, but there's so much more news flow to come there. they've got so many results outstanding from sort of certain aspects within the company.
Yeah, definitely.
Literally to do the research on that company to see what the potential is, you need to be 100% on the ball, and you have to do so many hours worth of research, you know. And again, going back to social media, there are other people that are saying, you know, certain things about loads of companies, but when it comes to Mad or Tiger, literally I don't think anyone anywhere in their right mind will know properly and fully the scale of everything, because for everything you see at the front, it's almost like an iceberg. There's sort of 70-80% workings and goings on behind the scene that you're not aware of, that you don't see.
I had one to pin down there for sure. Well, the two RNSs that came out this week, they've obviously moved into Ireland, as you can see. But just what I did was, what I like about Paul is as well, obviously I know Paul and Cameron, it was a non-executive director now, Cameron Parry. I covered the question of a conflict for directors and CEOs to invest in companies personally outside of their own company. That was a question I asked Paul. He nailed it for me. Excuse me, he nailed it, because he's right. You've got the AIM regulators, you've got the compliance teams, you've got the nomads, and they monitor everything these guys, even what they say publicly, so closely. So that, yeah. I think he definitely covered it in that podcast. And just to finish off on that one, when you said about his travels, that brings me on to Gretlin Gold's GGP. We and you have covered them in the past, haven't we? You know, the metal tire section.
Yeah.
So what I'm doing is I'm trying to get Paul Johnson, who, may I add, as far as I'm aware now, he's, again, more air miles. He's on his way to Thailand. And I'll get Andrew Bell. I'm trying to get the pair of them together in one podcast so we can get this Gretlin Gold thing covered, you know, because he's quite excited about it, Paul, on Friday when he was chatting about it.
Yeah, the last rumour was he was in Botswana, because apparently they're awaiting a massive resource update there.
That'll be mod resources. They've got 30% Metal Tiger of that, and they own 5% of their mod resources. Australian listed company.
All right.
Yeah, that's what that is. It's a big copper play, but that's dead right. So the last one, so you can get fishing, right? I've got to put this one out here. I've got to thank Steve Sanderson, Stefania, and the UCOG team. We sold a couple of barrels of the for the Horse Hill for charity, and it raised, for the Prince's Trust, it raised over £1,700, which is absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, and again, I was, you know, when it was first sort of mentioned and you first put the tweet out, I sort of sat there and I thought, you know, I wouldn't mind having that myself, even though I'm not invested in that company, to like £100, you know, £200, you know, as a nice little keepsake. It's a unique product, it's a unique item, you know. Obviously, I know they've got several sort of drills ongoing to test the area. So, you know, to be able to get one of them barrels is, you know, absolutely brilliant. Yes, the money's for charity, but, you know, £1,000, that is just, you know, absolutely amazing. And, you know, I don't know who the sort of the main winner is. I don't know if he's sort of put it out there on Twitter.
No, he hasn't. Like, he's quiet. He's a businessman, actually. That's the only thing.
Ah, right. You know, and, you know, kudos to him for putting that amount of money up. Obviously, it's going to charity, so it's all for a good cause. But, you know, that's just an amazing amount of money for that item, you know. So,
well, Steve, I'll give you an exclusive here, right, and then you give me an idea of what I can do with this. I've spoke to UCOG on Friday, and what they're doing is, and nobody knows this yet, this is exclusive now on this podcast, the Kimmeridge and the Portland Discovery, the two different sections, UCOG are bringing out two new barrels. And a barrel will be just the Kimmeridge oil in, and the barrel will be the Portland Discovery oil. UCOG.
Okay.
Yeah, so UCOG, as a thank you for us to do the first barrel, they're going to send us these two new barrels, are going to get posted out. Now, you tell me what I can do with these two barrels to raise funds for charity.
They're giving you some more?
Yeah, they're going to give me the brand new. It's one's a Kimmeridge Discovery Section oil barrel, and one's a
It's basically this oil is from a different section, so again, it's a totally different...
Yeah, it's a completely different thing. These are brand new. These are two brand new barrels from each section of the well. But you give me an idea what I can do with them in the future for charity, and I'll do it.
Well, obviously, that barrel that's just gone. Obviously, if this gentleman, as you say, is a businessman, he's got the money to throw out an item like that. You know, he might have invested 100 grand in the company for all we know.
Right.
You know, I don't think it's fair that only sort of rich people should be able to... you know, have the opportunity of owning this.
Yeah, I agree. So what would you suggest? What shall I do with these two brand new barrels? Not in the public domain. Nobody has them.
Right. You've sort of caught me off guard here. How could we do this where everyone... Why don't we have... I've done this again on other bulletin boards. What we do is we sort of guess the share price at the end of the month sort of competition.
All right.
Why don't we do something like that, but we can potentially make it... Why don't we do something like chuck us a fiver, guess the share price.
Yeah.
That fiver obviously still all goes to charity.
Yeah.
Whoever guesses the share price closest to the share price of a company will get the item. So again, we're still raising money for charity. Sort of Joe Bloggs down the street that wants to chuck a fiver at it in the hope that they can, you know, potentially get the item.
I like it.
How does that sound? Because then everyone gets a chance of owning it.
Yeah, you know, by Jerry. Yeah.
You know, even if someone wants to get it, I mean, you've seen the price that the last one's gone for. You know, so on the back of that, if people want to chuck a fiver at it, then that's totally really up to them. If people obviously, you know, we could do a no holds barred. So if people want to chuck 100 quid in, they can have 20 guesses at the share price of a company.
Yeah, I like it. I like it. It's a good idea. By the way, your mate Rigger, I've got to mention Rigger. He'll be having a few goes, that's for sure.
Yeah, the very second that came out, you know, Rigger was talking to me on social media and he was like, you know, I want it. He bid up to a very handsome price, and he's like, I can't, you know, he's got the money, don't get me wrong.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. He can't
justify putting that amount of money in when he's obviously got other commitments there to sort of deal with.
I agree.
Why don't we do it? So it's fair. Obviously, it wouldn't be fair if we did it on like 880 because I've got a sort of a working knowledge on that stock. Why don't we choose a new company that's potentially coming on board?
Yeah.
And we can effectively cover that. Why don't we say something like obviously I don't know when the item's coming, but if I said something like end of this month.
Yeah, we pick a company. Yeah, we just pick a company.
Pick a company. It can be one that we could potentially be covering. It could be a totally random company that's only just floated on the market. And that way, everyone's got a level playing field as to, you know, if they want to do a bit of research on the company, they can look at other companies that are roughly similar. You know, that way, it's a level playing field. Joe Bloggs from down the road has got as much chance as a multimillionaire investor who, you know, is potentially, you know, very well off and wouldn't mind paying over £1,000 for the item, you know?
I like it, by the way. I agree totally with you.
How does that sound? And then, literally, you can have like a 2-month gap or something like that. So we can say, right, for the first month, this is the company. You've got a month to go off, do some research, guesstimate the share price. Then, obviously, 2 months after a cut-off date, whatever the share price is, whoever's the closest gets the item.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah, I'll speak to UCOG. I'm sure they'll agree to it. You know, I'm sure they'll be happy with that. Like I say, when I was speaking to them on Friday, Steve Sanderson just came out with it. You know, he just said, "Oh, these are two brand new barrels," And straight away I thought, well, you know what I mean? I'm the same as you. I would rather put them into charity to raise funds, you know, than hold on to them myself. So, no, that's a cracking idea. I love it.
Yeah, okay. Right, we'll have to pick a company on that one.
No problem. Are you going fishing?
Pardon?
I said, are you going fishing? Your mate must be sick of waiting for you to drive to the fishing. fishing.
No. Yeah, I'm not going to paint too much of a picture, but he's got his shirt off at the moment and he's sort of sat in the sun, just sort of chilling out and relaxing. Ain't you, Paul?
He's not saying how blessed me. By the way, the poor lad just wants to go fishing and he's got bushwhacked in an interview.
Oh, man.
Funny. All right, Steve. By the way, absolute pleasure talking as per usual.
What I'm going to add to this is 8AT.
Oh, sorry.
Again, I don't think you put it on the Twitter earlier on, but 8AT, they recently announced. And good old Dave Wall, he played hardball with the company that originally had the 3D seismics.
All right, I asked that question, why they didn't do that, yeah.
Yeah, basically, he turned down and said, right, we don't want it, you're asking too much for it, we don't want this item, so we'll just pay you to do the 2D seismic. So they've basically given them the cash to do the 2D seismic, off they've gone. Now, the company would be stupid if they're holding on to 3D. They'll be stupid to go out, resurvey the land, redo the seismics, reanalyze the data when they've got this data set sat there.
Exactly.
They may as well have just given them the 3D sort of data in the first instance. So, and that, by the looks of it, is what's happened. Land was sort of 78, a massive area around the sort of ice wine acreage. So, again, you know, Dave Wall's played blinder there, he's played hardball, he's walked away. So, you know, they could be sat there at this precise moment in time working out what sort of conventional resources in play. And, you know, we might be hearing news on that at a sort of given moment in time in the sort of semi-near future.
So you reckon they've got the 3D, yeah?
Yeah, that's 3D seismic for the cost of 2D seismic. How good a deal is that?
Sweet, we just lost you for a minute there. That's all it was on your mobile. But
right, sorry, yeah.
No, it's not yours.
So the little where I live, 1 minute you're in a city, next minute you're in the middle of absolutely nowhere.
You know yourself, you get no posh pop pickers on our podcast, do you?
Nope. I wouldn't consider myself posh. I consider myself a down-to-earth person. I've been called that several times. Maybe that's because I fell over at fishing and got covered in mud. if that means I'm down-to-earth, then so be it. You know, I am what I am. I am who I am. You know, simple as that. People don't like it. It's their loss.
By the way, you're the top man. I know I've met you. Right. Get yourself fishing and I'll speak to you later, okay?
Yeah, let's see if I catch one.
I'm sure you'll put a picture up somewhere if you do. So many hands lost.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
definitely,
yeah, yeah. I'll see you later. All right?
Yeah. See you later, Alex. Cheers for the chat, mate.
Cheers.
And thank you very much, everyone, for listening. Any suggestions or ideas for the podcast? If there's a format you want, let me know. Someone picked up on one of the last podcasts that they're only interested in certain companies that we cover. So I was going to write like a little timeline of when the companies start. As I'm driving, obviously sat there in the car, I've got no pen, no paper, no nothing to do an index list for anyone. So apologies for this time round.
Right, sweet. We'll organise something in the future anyway, for sure. That's, you know what I mean, no problem.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Right, Alex, I'll catch you later, mate. Enjoy your day.
All right, I'll catch you later, all right? Bye-bye.
Catch you later. Bye.
Bye.